Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word of God here tonight? Oh, I'm going to ask again. I'll tell you what, if you're not ready, I'll make sure to get you ready. Are you ready for the Word of God here tonight? Amen. We're going to go ahead and jump right in. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18. And tonight I'm going to call this message, "The Window of God's Mercy is Wide Open." The window of God's mercy is wide open. You know, the last few years, many of you know this, you know, we've been mentioning it here and there over the last few years. We know that there has been an outright demonic assault against the body of Christ. You know, I'm 19 years in ministry, and I'm not saying that that's a ton of time. I'm just saying that in the last 3 years, I have seen more assaults on the body of Christ than the previous 15 or 16 years before it combined. And we've seen a lot of this, and we're so grateful that our churches have weathered that storm well. But we have seen it not just from a pastoral standpoint, but congregations, Christians that are seeking God. We know that there's just been an absolute assault of seducing spirits. There's been an assault of offenses. There's been an assault of hardships and trials and attacks on leadership and false doctrines and the paralyzing fear that tried to get on the body of Christ through, you know, COVID and the pandemic and all these things that has just been made up of these last few years. And when I say this, you know, I say this humbly and myself included, but, you know, over these last few years, you know, a lot of believers, and this isn't a condemning statement, this is not an indictment, this isn't just about this church, this is just a general statement, you know, but a lot of believers have made mistakes. And of course, we know when attacks come and pressures on the mind and fear gets a hold of people, there's mistakes that are made. And I'll tell you what, on the other side of Christians making mistakes or doing something that they shouldn't do or attacking somebody or the offenses and all these things that we've seen over the last few years, with making those mistakes, the devil will try to move in and try to put guilt and shame on people for missing it, or maybe, you know, getting in a feud with somebody, or not doing what God told them to do, whatever it is that we made mistakes or failed. But here's the good news here tonight, that the window of God's mercy is wide open. Wide open. Yes, God's, you know, church, you know, has made mistakes. Leadership has made mistakes. Christians have made mistakes. There's been failures. Some were understandable. Some were justified. Some weren't. All these things. It does not matter. The good news is that the window of God's mercy is wide open. All right. And I want to show you this in the Word. We're going to go to Revelation 2 and verse 18. Listen, if we need to get back on track, get back on track. If you didn't fall off the track, that's okay. Some point along the way, you may have a little, you know, a struggle with something, and this will be a great reminder, right? How to get back on track with God, because I'll tell you what, His mercy is available to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's wide open. And we're going to take a look at an individual here tonight who had the mercy of God extended to her. Let's go ahead and read it. We're going to read, you know, the letter of the church, the letter to the church of Thyatira. Now remember, if you've been around here for any length of time, you know that I like to go to Revelation chapter 2 and 3 quite a bit. They're some of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible because they are literally written letters directly to seven actual churches that existed there in the times immediately following the days of Christ. They were written, handwritten by John the Apostle as Jesus appeared to him, and Jesus instructed him to send these seven letters to each of the seven churches. Now, something you need to know about these letters of the seven churches found in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 is that each church didn't only receive their letter, each church received all seven letters at the same time. And so that's something just historically that we sometimes don't realize. And the reason for that is because God intended these letters to be read by all churches for the entire age of grace. These letters aren't just to those churches. These letters are to all of us as believers. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we're going to read this entire letter. This is one of the longest of the seven. At first, I wasn't going to read the entire thing. We aren't going to teach the entire thing. But I feel like if we leave something out, it might get a little confusing. So let's just read the entire thing. These are the words of Jesus. How many of you have a red letter edition Bible? And so these letters are red in your Bible because that indicates that Jesus himself is speaking. And Jesus says in verse 18, he says, "And to the angel of the church." Now remember what the word angel means? It is the word for messenger. Now remember, John is not sending these letters to angelic beings. The content of these letters is not written to angelic beings. It's written to Christians like you and me. And so if we don't do our study, we'll kind of mess it up. The word angel is translated messenger. It's talking about the pastor or the one that has the authority in the church to deliver the message of God to these churches. And each of these churches have a messenger, or what we call a pastor, a minister. And so we could read it like this. "And unto the messenger of the church in Thyatira write," and he's telling John what to write, "these things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know your works and charity." That means love. "I know your works and your love and your service and your faith and your patience and your works." He says works twice. That must mean they're doing something really good. He says, "and your last to be more than the first," meaning that their most recent works were even more than what they did in the past. So this church is doing more for God now than they ever had done for God. So that's a lot of good news. Praise the Lord. And then verse 20, look at the first word, notwithstanding. Notwithstanding, Jesus says, "I have a few things against you, because you suffer or allow that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold," this was the part I was going to leave out, but we can't. Jesus speaking to a Christian church, "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death," meaning those that follow her. "And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins," or the inner part of your hearts. "And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already, hold fast until I come." Wow. He says, "And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them." This is talking about you and I now. Amen. "And he," or she, meaning they, "shall rule them," the nations, "with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers," or shards, "even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This is one of the most intense, heavy-duty letters that Jesus wrote to any of these seven churches. And of course, I have to share it when I get back from vacation, right? Here we go. Why do I always feel led to share some of the heaviest portions of Scripture? Well, I don't know why that is. The Spirit leads me in these things. Now, go back over there to verse 18. Let's start breaking this down. Are you ready? You say, Pastor, by the sound of the title of this message, this sounded like a real happy message. The window of God's mercy is wide open. It is wide open. It was wide open in Thyatira. Hopefully we didn't miss it. Look at verse 18. And I'm just going to, you know, go over these things real quickly. It says this, to the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, these things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like of a flame of fire. Remember when John saw the resurrected Jesus, his eyes looked like there was fire burning in them. Literally represents Jesus' ability to see all that the church does. All right? The fact that his eyes are on fire represents his ability to see everything. And it says that his feet are like fine brass. Imagine looking upon Jesus' feet and seeing them shine like polished brass. And remember how brass is made. It is made in the fire. The feet of Jesus represent the fact that he walked through the fire for you and I. And he walked through the fire, came out on the other side. Amen. Remember when they tried to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into that furnace of fire? And they said, look, there's a fourth one in there, and he's like under the Son of Man. Remember that? Well, Jesus has been in the fire. He walked in that fire for you and I. Amen. And he came out on the other side. Praise the Lord. That's why it describes him that way. That's not our message, though, here tonight. Look at verse 19. He tells this church, this is a church just like this one, had believers in it, had a pastor, you know, had, you know, ministries and so on. He says to this church, which is really good, he says, I know your works or your deeds. I know your deeds as a church. And I know your love and your service and your faith and your patience and your works. He says that the last, meaning the more recent works that you're doing, are more than the first. This church is doing more for God than they've ever done before. And Jesus says, I see your church. You are a church of love. You are a church of faith. You are a church of patience. And you are a church of serving. He said, your church has a servant's heart. I'll tell you what, every time there was a need in the church at Thyatira, whenever they needed somebody to serve, guess what? Everyone was willing to do that. Amen. And Jesus saw it. And he wants to reward their serving, right? Anytime the church at Thyatira had a sign up for serving out at their reception desk, right? They signed right up. Praise the Lord. Because that was what they were known for. They were a serving, loving, faithful, patient church. But look at verse 20. Something happens. All right. And here comes the digression. And we're going to just take a moment to look at verse 20. He says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you. How many of you know that Jesus is qualified to judge his church? And how many of you know Jesus does judge his church? Now remember, these letters are written to who? The messenger. These things are written directly to the messenger of the church. And so notice this, Jesus will always first deal with leadership. And what's good for leadership is good for the entire congregation. And so he writes it to the leadership of the church, but it's for the entire congregation, right? Amen. Just like we're sharing here tonight. He says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you because you. Now he's talking to first the messenger of the church. And of course, it may include the entire church as well. He says, because you sufferest, that means you allow that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Wow. Isn't that a heavy-duty verse? Oh, boy. A couple things that I want you to notice here at first. Notice that the Lord was holding the messenger of the church responsible for everything that was taught in his pulpit. You see that? he starts to hold the messenger or the pastor of the church, he holds that messenger responsible for allowing a false teacher to speak in the church. Wow. Now, a lot of groups will try to take this portion of scripture and they'll say, well, the Lord was upset because she was a woman. I'm here to tell you the Lord was not upset because she was a woman. You understand that? You say, well, pastor, you know, she called herself a prophetess. Yeah, well, there's other women that God calls true prophetesses. Do you need a biblical example? Go to, where is that? Luke chapter 2, and you can read about Anna, who is called a prophetess, who was there at the day, eighth day of Jesus' life, to dedicate him before the Lord in the temple. So if you think that women aren't used in ministry, why did God make sure that there was a faithful prophetess there who could see and understand that Jesus, just 8 days old, that woman already knew that Jesus was the Messiah and that she was to be there with Simeon on that day to dedicate Jesus Christ before God? Yes. Woo! Because she was a true prophetess. This scripture is talking about a false prophetess. It's not because she was a woman that was the problem. It's because what she was teaching was the problem. And believe me, can men be false teachers as well? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, percentage-wise, there's more false teachers that are men than there are women. Because percentage-wise, there's more men preachers than there are women preachers. But that does not mean that a woman is not allowed to teach the Word of God. You know what? It about comes up every Ask the Pastor night. So if you come Wednesday, we'll show you some scriptures. There are women preachers in the New Testament. You need one real quickly? How about Romans chapter 16? Go read about Phoebe. You understand that she was given full charge over the Roman church? Anyhow, well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, I'm not doing that to be friends with anybody. I'm just doing that because that's the truth. I mean, sharing that truth. And there's some denominations that get real in an uproar about it. And oh my goodness, they got to stick to their deception. No, praise God for women preachers. But here in Thyatira, Jesus was upset because this woman called herself a prophetess. All right, and she started to teach things that were deceiving the people in Thyatira. And Jesus says to the messenger, he said, you are responsible to guard your pulpit. These are just some things that we're starting off with here. Just hold on here for a minute. All right. And so the Lord holds the pastor responsible. Yes. Notice this woman, Jezebel. Do not confuse her with the Jezebel of 1 Kings. 1 Kings was written thousands of years before the book of Revelation. This is not the same woman. This is not the Jezebel that ran with Ahab and that, you know, the prophet of God had to deal with, Elijah. Remember that? All right, just so you remember, this is not the same Jezebel. Now, this is talking about a local woman who was in the church at Thyatira. Was her name really Jezebel, or did Jesus give her that name because she kind of mimicked the Old Testament Jezebel? I don't know. All right. So we'll just have to leave that up for interpretation. But Jesus says this woman in the church of Thyatira, notice she took upon herself, she claimed to be anointed to preach God's word, and she claimed to be appointed in the prophet's office. All right, she called herself, she claimed to be that, and notice that the messenger of that church, the pastor, did not have the sense to know the difference between a false teacher and a real teacher. All right, it is the pastor's job to make sure who is ever teaching and preaching in that church is not false. All right, doesn't mean that this Jezebel had bad intentions. We don't know what her intentions were. We just know that what she was teaching was very deceptive. Notice what she was teaching. Notice she taught the people, she seduced the servants of Jesus to commit fornication. Wow. That means that this woman was teaching in the church and saying that adultery was okay. She was teaching that, you know, you don't need marriage in order to have a sexual relationship. Premarital sex is okay. Even if you are married, you can just be with whoever you want. She was teaching people that they could have a sexual relationship outside of marriage. And notice the people in Thyatira were following her. All right? So she was teaching that. Notice also she was teaching that Christians could eat things sacrificed to idols. Now, you and I really don't have that issue much anymore. When you go up to Wegmans and you go into the meat department, I doubt they have a section of steaks that they declare as these were sacrificed to pagan gods, right? I'm pretty sure they don't have a section in the butcher section at Wegmans labeled that. But the way we would understand it today is that she was telling people in the church that it's okay to do things that are demonically inspired. It was okay to do things that, you know, were, you know, worldly. It was okay to, we could use a lot of examples. Maybe she was telling them it was okay to drink. It was okay to get drunk. It's okay to dress like the world. It's okay to be promiscuous. It's okay to do all these things. And she was teaching God's people to sin and to have promiscuous lives and that they could, you know, just follow what the world does. They can do demonically inspired things, all right? So think about all these things that she was doing. She was hurting. She was causing Christians to sin. She was hurting and ruining a church. She was teaching God's people to be led by demonic things. I mean, she was destroying people's lives. Think of all that she was doing. Wow, a lot of trouble, a lot of problems. Teaching them to have adultery. I mean, she could have been destroying marriages. And remember what it said down there in verse 22? Can you drop down to verse 22 real quick? It says, Jesus said, Behold, I'll cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her. So not just at her teaching, but now we know that her personal life, she was living those things herself. Isn't that interesting? Remember that. Go back up to verse 20. All right. Think of all these things that she was doing. She was calling herself a prophetess. She was lifting up herself, but she was lowering the standard of God. Do you see that? She was standing in front of God's people and saying, it's okay, you don't really have to stay abstinent until marriage. Oh, it's okay if you go and drink like the world. It's okay if you go do what the world does. It's okay if you sin against God. It's all right. Folks, this is happening today in the world that we live in. She noticed what she was doing. She was lowering God's standard in front of God's people. This is the number one way that you can discover a false teacher. A false teacher will elevate themselves. They will promote themselves, but yet they will lower the standard of God. They will, you know, seek to talk more about themselves, but they will have less conviction in their services. Folks, hold on a second. I'm getting to the main point. This woman was very destructive. So much so that Jesus warned her, said, I'm going to cast you down. I'm going to take anybody that follows this woman, and I'm going to kill them. Whoa. Boy, you're all looking mad at me all of a sudden. Jesus said it to his church. He said, those that follow this woman who do the things that she's teaching, they're going to be destroyed. This woman was destroying lives. She was destroying her own life. She was ruining a church, wrecking marriages, teaching false doctrine. Oh my goodness, ask yourself right now, if someone was doing that to your church, what would you like to immediately do with them? Right, take them out. Get rid of them. Rah, rah, rah. Now we see verse 21 should be one of the most shocking verses to us. Because we kind of read through it, and if you don't stop and pause, Jesus says, I gave her space to repent of her fornication. But now we realize that she repented not. That word space there, it means a window or a time to repent. even to a woman. You know, or if a man was doing the same thing, it has no gender, has nothing to do with it. But to this person who was wreaking havoc upon the Lord's church, ruining, destroying lives, teaching false things, all this stuff, Jesus said there was a time when the window of God's mercy was still open to her. Wow. Think about all the things that this tells us. It tells us, number one, that God is way more merciful than we are. Wow. Folks, I don't think there's anybody in this room. I doubt there's even anybody even watching by live stream, you know, or comes across this video on the internet. I doubt they've ever even done, even as a believer, what this woman was doing to the church. I don't think any of us have ever gone that low. Like Jesus says later in the letter, he says, for those of you that have not known the depths of Satan. Isn't that interesting that Christians, if we're not careful, can actually know the depths of Satan? Jesus was going to bring harsh judgment against this church, but before judgment ever came, he offered a space of mercy. What does that tell you? It tells you what the Bible has already told us, that God does not rejoice in judgment, but he rejoices in mercy. Mercy. God was not excusing her actions. He warned her, stop doing this. It's going to destroy you. But notice there was a window that was open. Folks, if her window was open for God's mercy, how much is our window open for God's mercy? Amen. None of us have ever come any close to doing what she's doing, right? None of us. But yet she had that verse. You would just naturally, when you read it, all the stuff that she was doing, it just seems like you wouldn't want to stand next to that woman because a lightning bolt might just come and take her out at any moment. But God is more merciful than we are. Aren't you glad? Wow. Think about what all this tells us. I mean, it was just amazing. This false teacher, false prophet, all these things. Like I said, where did she get these ideas? She got them from herself. She started preaching the standard that she was living instead of preaching the standard of God. Yeah. All right, do you see how this happened? Yeah. Do you see what false teachers will do? They'll promote themselves but lower the conviction of God. Yeah, they'll elevate themselves, but they will, you know, lessen the standard of God. Think about all this and think about what it tells us. What does it tell us? Number one, like I said, the Lord is more merciful than we are. Here's another thing that this tells us. It wasn't too late for her. Even when she was doing those things, it was not too late. God told her, you can get this right. Yeah. Folks, if that woman could have got things right, how many things in our lives can we get right that God's just merciful for? Yeah. If her window was open for a time, how much more is our window open? If you made mistakes these last few years, if you came under the pressure of the demonic assault, if you got into feuds with people, if you criticized others, if you made a mistake, whatever it is, guess what? You can get right. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's window is of mercy is wide open. You know, maybe you fell into fear. Maybe you fell into, complaining, or you started, fighting with your spouse. If you, got to a point where you said your spouse isn't good enough anymore, guess what? You can make that right. You know, if you fell into a thing where you were attacking leadership, guess what? You can make that right. Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is so willing. He gave that woman, he says, I gave her a space or a window of time she could have repented of her fornication and the destruction she was bringing upon Christians. Notice this woman decided not to take God's mercy. She decided not to. And she obviously was destroyed. And those that followed her were destroyed. They fell into harm. Boy, I tell you what, never underestimate people's desire to find God the easy way. She offered a way to find God without conviction. She offered a way to God that excluded crucifying the flesh. Folks, I'm going to tell you, the Lord does not live on the easy path. He lives on the path that requires the crucifixion of your flesh. That requires obedience. Yes. He requires, if you're in a feud with somebody, if you're, you know, at a place where you're arguing with family, get it right. Amen. Yeah, tonight I'm going to give you a couple of ways that you can start moving into this window of mercy. This tells us the Lord is more merciful than we are. It tells us that it wasn't too late for her, and that tells us it's not too late for us. Amen. She could have made it right. We can make it right. Jesus, it also tells us that Jesus must have seen potential in her that she could have been used for God's kingdom. He was seeing potential in this woman. Potential that no one naturally would have ever seen. All they would have seen is this woman wreaking havoc on this church. And Jesus said, I've given her a space, a time. You know what the word repent means? It does not mean to be sorry. It means to change and to go a different direction. And if she would have gone a different direction, the Lord would have used her. She probably was called to preach. I'm just speculating now. She may have been called to preach. All right. But her actions were disqualifying her. And aren't you glad that before Jesus just up and disqualified her, he said, I'm going to give her a window. I don't know. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. I think I asked the question, what if you had done? I think many of us said, I'll just get her out. You know, just cast her out and throw her out to her own destruction. But Jesus said, no, wait. 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 She might repent. You know, she has a chance. You know, she can do right. She could be used. We could reverse this. Yeah. Jesus saw potential in her that could have been used for God's kingdom. It tells us this, that ministers have to work on themselves more than they work on other people. I'll say it again. It tells us that ministers have to work on themselves more than they work on other people. I will tell you that's absolutely true. She was too busy working on other people, and she should have been working on her own heart. Ministry is not what you've achieved in the lives of others. It is what you've achieved in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Ministry is not what you've achieved in the lives of others. It is what you've achieved in a personal relationship with the Lord. What else does it tell us? It tells us that it would have been better for her to fix her issues while she was still in the church than to be cast out and to be destroyed. It tells us that it would have been better for her to fix the issues in the church before she was cast out and destroyed. It tells us that if Jesus gave a window for someone like this, how big is his window for us? Is there anybody in here that's made any mistakes over these last few years? Anybody? I know. Even, you know, if I could levitate and put every toe and, you know, finger and a hand up, I mean, I absolutely would. There's been a lot of pressure. There's been a lot of attacks. There's been a lot of opportunities for being offended. Over these last few years, you don't think I've had opportunities to be offended at people? Yeah. And guess what? Maybe they never even knew about it, but there were times when I was failing in that offense. Yeah, absolutely. But the window was wide open. I'm grateful with that window is closing. Jump on it sooner than later. Amen. There's offenses and pressure and attacks and trials and all these things coming against people's minds, against their bodies, against their finances, all this stuff. Guess what? It was very, very easy for people to make mistakes over these last few years. The good news is God's window of mercy is wide open. If you've fallen into a fight with somebody, if you've allowed your marriage to fall into, you know, disrepair and you've allowed it to get into a very bad place, get it right. Get it right. If you've allowed your relationships with family or leadership or whoever it is, get it right. Amen. Praise the Lord. It tells us that if Jesus gave a window for someone like that, how big is our window? Yeah. What would you tell, if you could go back in time, if you could snap your fingers and go to the town of Thyatira, while that woman was still in that church, what would you tell her? What would you tell her? You would plead with her, make it right. Your window of repentance is still open. Don't let it close. Don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt others. Get it right. There's nothing that she was holding on to that was going to do any good for her. Wouldn't you go to her? Tell her, get it right. It's not too late. All right. We're going to conclude here tonight with two things that you and I can do, amen, to make sure that we get it right. Amen. How we take advantage of the window of God, God's mercy being wide open to us. Are you ready? Number one, examine your own heart. Examine your own heart. Wow. I'm going to say this because we all fall into this, and I'll tell you what, especially over these last few years, it's been easier than ever to feel like everything is someone else's fault. Folks, I'm just going to tell you something. I'm not saying it's your fault or my fault, but I'm just here to tell you, don't live with a mentality that it's someone else's fault. All right? Stop trying to fix your spouse. Stop trying to fix your kids. Stop trying to fix your church. Stop trying to fix your pastor. Stop trying to fix your coworkers. Stop trying to fix your family. Stop trying to fix your friends. Amen. Work on who? Yourself. She was too busy trying to teach everybody else when she should have been working on her heart. It's not because she was a woman. It had nothing to do with her gender. It was to deal. Her teaching was a symptom of a heart problem. I'm going to say it again. How she was acting in the church was a symptom of a much bigger problem in her heart. Examine your heart. Don't fix everybody else. Work on yourself. Nobody is hurting you like you're hurting you. No one hurts me like I hurt me. Does anyone understand what I mean by that? Your opposition, I am here to tell you, is not the person sitting next to you. It's, you know, it's not even me, all right? It's not me, it's not your boss at work, it's not your spouse, it's not somebody, it's not a family member, whatever. Nobody is your adversary. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, all right? And if you try to change everybody else, but you're not working on yourself, you're going to be extraordinarily hurt in this life. Nobody is hurting you like you're hurting you. Here's something I'm going to tell you right now. Have a deep inner conversation with yourself. We're talking about examining your heart. Folks, you know, I wouldn't say daily, but I certainly would say weekly. I have got to go before the Lord, and I've got to have a conversation with myself all the time. Lord, look at what I'm doing. Lord, you know, I've been meditating over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and talking about, you know, when Paul was instructing the Corinthian church how they build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And you can either build with gold, silver, precious stones, or you can build with wood, hay, and stubble. All right? Because he says every man's work is going to be tested with fire and it's going to be revealed in that day. Yeah. Remember that scripture? Yeah. I did teach on it a few weeks ago. I know that everything I'm doing for the Lord, there's going to be a match lit someday, and the Lord is going to test everything that I do and say with fire. And I want, at that time, I want anything that I've ever done to be built with gold, silver, and precious stones. And I go before God all the time, and I have to have that deep inner conversation. Lord, is my heart right? I go and I'll pick out, you know, situations where people have had a struggle with me, or I've had a struggle with them, or whatever it is. Lord, is my heart right in this situation? You know, Lord, my goal isn't to be right. My goal is to be corrected. Meaning I'm not trying to win an argument with anybody. My goal is to be in the Lord's light and to know that I've done things His way. And you know what? If you believe God is telling you the faults of somebody else, it is not the voice of the Lord. Do you know the Bible tells us over there in 1 John chapter 4, test the spirits, whether they be of God. Test the spirits, meaning test the voices. You know, test, the Bible says to keep every thought obedient to Christ. You know, and also if you hear, you know, something in your heart and you wonder, is that God? If all of a sudden you're hearing things, well, it's their problem, it's their fault, their trouble, it's all on them. If you're hearing that in prayer, I'm here to tell you that is not the voice of God. That is a deceiving or a seducing spirit lying to you so that you think that everyone else has work to do and you have no work to do on yourself. If there's one thing I know in this life, I've got to work on myself. Is there anyone else besides me that is a work in progress? There's nobody on this earth that holds my destiny in their hands. It is Jesus that holds my destiny. Nobody's offense, nobody's, you know, attack, nobody's insults or maliciousness stops us. Sure, I'm not going to let it stop me. And I'm not sure enough, not going to let, you know, my own personal gripes or offenses or something get in the way for what God wants me to do. Yeah. Have a deep inner conversation with yourself. The Lord isn't telling you what others need to do or should do. The Lord's going to talk to you about you. You are only truly examining your own heart if you're there because you want to be corrected. When you examine your heart, what are you doing? Lord, correct me. Correct me. The Bible tells us that we should delight in correction. Delight in correction. Where is that? Proverbs 3:11 and 12, right in that neighborhood. You can take that down. Amen. You know, praise the Lord. Thank God. He will absolutely, you know, correct us. But if you go before God wanting to hear that you're doing everything right and nobody needs, you know, or you don't need to be corrected, everybody else is the reason why, you know, there's a problem. I'm here to tell you, with that heart and that mind, you're never going to get any further with God. Number one way to take advantage of that window of God's mercy, number one, examine your heart. Folks, are you having that deep inner conversation with yourself on a regular basis? Are you bringing those situations? If somebody has a contentious problem with you or you have one with them, are you bringing it before the Lord saying, Lord, I want to be corrected. If there's something that I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing, it's going to take that kind of prayer and it's going to take some meditation in the Word. Amen. This woman, of course, the scripture doesn't tell us, but we do know this. We saw in verse 22 that this woman was out committing adultery. The scripture tells us, David told us, I don't have the chapter and verse right now, but the scripture tells us that if we are openly sinning, we will not hear God's voice. Do you know that that's true? The way this woman was living her life, she was living a life of sin and then trying to teach God's people. And notice, she could not hear God's voice because her life choices and her decisions had cut off or severed the voice of God in her life. Wow. Folks, if God's voice is severed in her life, it'll be easy to think that it's everybody else's fault. First thing we need to do is the first thing that she needed to do is repent of our sin, if we have any. Not saying that you do. Repent. Get right. Bring these situations before God. Let Him judge it. I love it when God tells me I'm wrong. Do you know why? Because I'd rather hear God's voice and be wrong than to not hear His voice and think I'm right. See what I'm saying? I'd rather have a heavenly opportunity to make things right. And it's never going to come unless you have an inner conversation with yourself. Examine your own heart. And I mean before God. Lord, you see this situation. Lord, show me where I've missed it. If I've missed it, Lord, if I'm the problem, Lord, just show me. Teach me, Lord. He will. He will absolutely teach you. He will show you. He will tell you. He has put things on my plate. He has told me to go correct situations that I felt like, wait, what do you mean? I got to go correct that? I didn't do that. That wasn't on me. The Lord says, yeah, you go correct it. Okay, I'll go correct it. Folks, what is the essence of these letters? This woman was hurting the body of Christ. We should not have a desire to win an argument with somebody. Our desire should be to always make sure that the body of Christ is not hurt. That's what our goal should be. You know, if you're having a dispute with another believer, it's the body that's at stake, not your personal pride. Are you here tonight? We'll end right here. Here's the second thing you can do to take advantage of God's window of mercy that is open. Two, if the window of mercy is open for you, well, let's answer that question right here. Is the window of God's mercy open for us here tonight? Yes, it is. I don't think anybody in this church right now deserves to be called a Jezebel, do you? Of course not. No one's even remotely doing what that woman was doing. Think about how much of a God knows. Do you know the scripture tells us over in Romans 5:20? It says, as sin abounds, grace will much more abound. That doesn't mean that God's okay with sin. It doesn't mean that God tolerates sin. It doesn't mean that God becomes more tolerant in the sense that God ever becomes okay with sin. But what the scripture is teaching us, that as these days become more and more evil, God will provide more and more ability for us to get right and to stay right. Amen. Just because evil is growing doesn't mean that God's power just stays under that level. God is always above. He is always out in front. He is always outperforming. He is always outrunning what the devil is doing. So as our society becomes more sinful, more dark, guess what? His grace abounds. His grace, his window of mercy, you know, is there for you and becomes greater for you because he knows that you've been through a lot of pressure over these last few years. I'm here to tell you, God's window of mercy is wide open for you. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so here leads me to the second thing, and we'll end with this. If the window of mercy is open for you, check to make sure your window of mercy is open for others. All right, let me say this. How many of you believe God's window of mercy is wide open for you? Anyone that believes that? All right. So what about your window of mercy towards others? Let me just ask you, anyone do you wrong in the last few years? Yep. Last few days. Right. Has anyone done you wrong? Do you think anyone's done me wrong in the last few years? Yes. Do you think, you know, anyone's done you wrong? Of course. Do you think there's people that are making mistakes? So many times we don't see the pressure that somebody's truly under. When we see the mistake, we see how it affects us, and we get offended because it affects us. But do you know the pressure that they were under? If the window of mercy is open for you, check to make sure your window of mercy is open for others. Ask yourself this question right now as we get ready to close. Who do you need to have mercy on right now? Whether they will receive it or not. Listen, you can't. I've tried to have mercy on people. Sometimes you tell them that and they're like, wait, what? Sometimes it's just between you and God. And if there's a way that they would receive it, then of course you freely give it. But ask yourself this question. Who do you need to have mercy on right now? I'm telling you, if a name isn't in your heart right now, give it a few minutes. There will be one. Or maybe it'll be later tonight or later this week. God is going to show you. How do I know? Because he has told me. I've literally asked him, Lord, who do I need to have mercy on that maybe I missed? Maybe I didn't realize it, or I didn't even understand how I was treating somebody. And when I've asked that, I've been given names, and sometimes those names downright shock me. You know, and most of the time it goes well, you know. Most of the time it goes well saying, hey, listen, I missed it. I'm very sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you or whatever, all right? And every once in a while, there'll be a situation where you try to be merciful and they don't want to hear it or whatever. That's okay. But if you don't have a name in your heart, or if you don't have maybe a few names, all right, the Lord will give them to you. And maybe you're completely just right where you need to be at this moment, and that's wonderful, that's great. And if you're running a perfect life, please come and tell me how, right? Praise the Lord, okay? If those names haven't come to your heart, eventually the Lord will show you someone that you just need to have mercy on. And you'll say, well, but Lord, they did that. They said this. I was minding my own business. They did this. That's exactly what mercy is for. Think about that woman in Thyatira. Destructive. Hurting. Wreaking havoc upon that church. Jesus, verse 21 is by far the most shocking verse of that entire chapter. Now people say, no, Pastor, the most shocking verse is when Jesus says he's gonna cast her into a bed of sickness. Ouch. That's a punch to our theology, isn't it? Oh, but the Lord said he was going to kill her children with death. Ouch. That's a punch to our theology, isn't it? Oh, we won't go there. I'll teach you why Jesus said that anyway. He's got the right to judge his church, right? Anyway, well, praise the Lord. Don't you have the right to remove a dead organ in your body? Yeah. Does the Lord have a right to remove a dead organ in his body? Yeah. Yes, he does. There you go. There's your explanation. If something is causing death to come upon your body, you have somebody take it out. And Jesus saw this woman who was causing death to his body. He said, if she doesn't repent, I will remove her. And he did. But verse 21 is so much more shocking to me because she was wrecking havoc. And I think almost every human being on this earth would just say, take her out. Get rid of her now. She's destructive and hurtful. Just remove her now. Remove her immediately. And Jesus said, no, wait. Give her time. Isn't that amazing? The Lord is so much more merciful than we are, isn't he? Amen. So, if over these past years, if you've missed something, if you've gotten into a feud, you've gotten into a fight, you're holding a grudge, something like that, get it right. Amen? Did you get any help out of that here tonight? Yeah. Praise the Lord. It could be, folks, I don't know what it was over the last few years. I don't know where you've missed it. I don't know where I know where I've missed it because I see God, he tells me. But I don't know everybody's specific scenario. I don't know the issues you've had with people or people have had with you or at your work or in your family or in your marriage or whatever it is. I could sit here and, tell you about all my personal life and tell you where I've missed it and, could tell you where other people have done me wrong or whatever. That isn't going to help you. But just know, you will know in your heart where that situation is. Get it right. And here I will end with this. This window of time, the one thing that we learn in this passage is that window does not stay open forever. Yeah. It's wide open right now, but it starts to close. It starts to close. And when it closes, even though God is very patient, oh Lord, yeah, he is very, very patient. And when that closes, that opportunity is going to be gone. The good news is our window is way bigger than it would have been for this Jezebel. All right? Did you get something out of this here tonight? The window of God's mercy is wide open. We know that these last few years have been an absolute assault. God understands the attack that you've been under. Honestly, probably one of the more difficult times to be a Christian in the last few hundred years, and you're living in it. And so God understands that, and he's just letting us know, listen, if you've missed it, get right. Father God, we just praise you. We glorify you. Father, you are so faithful. Lord, you are so merciful. You looked at that woman who was doing such damage, and when everybody could have just easily said, take her out. Get rid of her. Cast her out. Cast her down. Lord, you said, wait, I'll give her a window of mercy. I'll give her a space of time that she can make it right. Wow. That's awesome. Lord, you are so much more merciful than we are. Lord, you are so faithful and so good. There are far too many things that you have planned for us in our near future. We don't want to miss them. This woman that you called Jezebel in Revelation chapter 2, she could have made it right then and there. She could have made it right where she was. She could have made it right with who was around her. She could have made it right. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. Father, you are so good. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll just speak for myself. Thank you that your window of mercy has always been open for me. Thank you, Father, that your window of mercy is open for this congregation, for all of us as individuals, for our families, for our marriages, our jobs, everything. You're so good. Thank you, Lord, that you lead us and guide us. You help us work on us. Nobody is my problem. Eyes closed and heads bowed. Real quickly before, I always give a salvation invitation. I know just about everybody here tonight personally that you've made Jesus Christ your Lord. But there's something that I have to say first. Yes, I'm saying it from a personal standpoint, but it's also a lesson for each one of us. I just want you to know my window of mercy for you and anybody else is wide open. Meaning, for me personally, not just as a pastor, but as a Christian. If there was anybody in this room that ever said or did, or, I'm not aware of it, but I'm just saying, if there was an attack against me or anything, just so you know, I hold no grudge, no problem. The window of mercy is wide open. I look across my life in relationships. If there's anything that I've done to hurt somebody or wrong them, or if they've wronged me, my window of mercy is wide open. I fully forgive it. I don't care. I don't care what anybody has said about me or done against me. Yes, I'm saying that as a pastor of the church. Yes, I'm saying that personally. But I'm saying it also because that should be what all of us are saying. We say it before God. We say it before people. Lord, my window of mercy is wide open. Lord, if I don't care what anybody has done, I will forgive them. I will bless them. I will help them. There's not a human being on this earth that I would not help right now, no matter who they are or what they've done. There's nobody, not in my family, not in my church family, not in my extended family, not within my marriage, not within my home. Folks, are you getting a hold of this? And so, Father God, we just bless you. I've been faithful to deliver the message that you told me to deliver. And Father God, if for some reason there's somebody within the sound of my voice that has never made Jesus Christ their Lord, if you're here tonight and Jesus is your Lord and Savior, could you lift your hand right now? If Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior, could you lift your hand? If Jesus is your Lord, you've made him the Lord and Savior of your life, could you please lift your hand? Thank you. That's everybody. Father, I thank you for this wonderful family of believers. Father, I just pray your highest and best. Lord, help me use any gift in my life to get them closer to you. That, Lord, that we would all stand whole and complete in the will of God. Father, we just give you the praise. We give you the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Did you get something out of this here tonight? Woo, praise the Lord. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just give the Lord all the praise and glory. We'll be dismissed. Father, we bless you tonight. We glorify you tonight. Lord, you are faithful. You are so merciful. Lord, you have treated us so much better than we deserve. Lord, you treated that woman in Thyatira way better than she deserved. Because you're merciful, because you're good, you're kind, And Father God, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.